We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball right now. A 21-game hitting streak. He has 9 consecutive multi-hit games.
Glenn doesn't know you're not supposed to talk about these
He's
things.
Sitting
no
three,
one does
it's
in the city.
You know what?
No. People come up to me like with signs and tell me all that stuff.
But that's you're not superstitious. I mean.
Well, you don't come into a clubhouse and.
You're a Cincinnati Bengal fan. You can't be superstitious. Oh, come on.
Well, I wear the same shirt. Kevin,
Glenn's never been in a clubhouse.
Just don't hang out with those guys.
Cincinnati Bengals. You need to be a parole officer.
Yeah. You're hearing your name on the police blotter.
Well, I tell you what. I'll throw another one out. Hasn't made an error since last July, which is pretty
good. There you go again.
Sorry. All these things are good.
But I'll never come on WEI if I make an error tonight.
He's setting you up for an 0-for-5 with two miscues out there tonight.
I'm not responsible for what happens tonight between the first and the ninth inning, okay? Right. That's all yours. But talk about it, because you know, we were talking about it in the last hour. This doesn't seem like a fluke. I mean, you certainly seem to be getting better every single year, and anytime that anybody thinks there's some type of flaw in your swing or what you're doing, your mechanics, you seem to find a way out of it. You seem to take it to the next level. How much work has been involved in this, and do you suddenly see things? Is the ball a lot bigger, or is it a matter of you've just picked up and learned so much that your swing is now, you can go to opposite fields, you can do different things against the pitcher?
I think confidence plays a lot in everything in life, no matter what you do, baseball, school, job. I think right now my confidence is going well. Last year was a big year for me. I think it was big in the fact that I had the opportunity to go out on a daily basis and prove myself that I could be at this level. Down the stretch, kind of faded. Definitely some injuries played a little bit part of that. And I think this year that's why I'm having a little bit more success out the gate because – you know, every day for me last year was tough, going with that foot. That foot was the plantar fasciitis. I don't know if anybody's ever had it or ever heard of it. I know the writers have probably heard of, you know, Shannon Stewart was out all last year with it. And it's a tough thing. You wear down by the end of the game. And for me, I think that played a lot of it. I felt uncomfortable running. And so somebody asked me about that, if I could have ran inside the park home run with I said probably, but after that I ran in and came back out, I've been hurting pretty bad.
Well, what's the thing you've been most pleased with as far as your season goes? Because I know we were just talking a little while ago, your strikeouts compared to last year are down. Your walk strikeout is a lot closer to being even than it might have been last year. What have you been happiest with?
I think winning. I think the biggest thing is we're winning. We got a huge lead. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can like – everyone, and I know guys will joke about it, you know, the whole personal stats and all that. I think right now, to me, everything I do is not as – the personal stuff is good, but the whole fact that we're just winning right now and we're, 12 second-place team is 12 games or something back, I mean, that's fun. When you can go into June and you're 12 games up in this division, that's what makes it fun to come to the ballpark every day.
Is there any part of that 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 can make it harder to play because the lead is so big? You know what I mean? In other words, that you know that if you make a mistake, there's no ramification to it, at least in the short term?
Well, it definitely can. I mean, if you get into a funk, if you think about it and it's on your mind that you're losing, I think that's a problem. But I think with this team, I think, you come in the clubhouse, you see this team, I think guys every day are just – it's almost that feel that 2004. Guys are excited to be in the clubhouse again. We have a good mix of guys. We got a lot of Latin players now. Maybe we got a lot of Latin guys in there now. I'm in a corner where, I got to learn how to speak Spanish all the time. But it's fun. It's fun to come to the clubhouse each day. And I think that's what made the 2004 team so special was, it was my first year. And it was exciting every day to come to the field. When you came in there in August and September, it was exciting to come in that clubhouse. And right now we have that excitement. But, winning makes everyone get along and it's happy. So if we can keep winning, everyone will be happy.
We feel that way on this show.
Kevin, 2 years ago you would do – now, obviously, they're not going to send you down. That's in the rearview mirror. Yep, when I asked you about that last week.
We hope not.
Yeah, but would you were asked about that last week in New York. You brought up Neil Kotz. Now, is that a defense mechanism in your head just as a reminder to keep focused and so forth?
Well, I think you have to. I think you look at anything in this game. Guys have great years, and then the next year they're out, you know, they're not having a good year, and they're, you know, back platooning and doing other stuff. So I think you have to take it on a daily basis, and you have to have a lot of pride in every day that you know that you can't just basically – you have to grind. You have to I'm a player that's going to grind it out. I'm going to play every game, play every out, grind it out. I'm not satisfied with, you know, 1-for-4. I'm not satisfied with, oh, I hit the ball hard. There's always tomorrow. I know I've been in that situation where there wasn't tomorrow, and I got sent down. So the more I think about it, the more it drives me and gives me more passion to play every day and appreciate where I'm at, but also know that, you know, next year there's always, you know, another day, and you have to prove yourself.
Well, turn it around. Now, Boggs always felt that he spent too much time in the minors. Do you, looking back on it, do you feel that you were down there more than was necessary?
Yes.
I felt
you wouldn't be human if you didn't. Yeah.
Well, I remember
after 2004,
two.
I felt I had a chance to play. But you got to understand, this is Boston,
right?
New York. These are winning teams. There's a lot of players we have down in AAA right now that could help out a major league team in a lot of different places. But it's just, it's Boston. It's New York. The big market teams are going to have the big market guys.
So given that reality, if you had the choice to come up earlier and play somewhere else or be in this type of market and have it take a little longer, do you have an opinion?
I mean, granted, we all want to be up here, and I wish I had 5 years in the big leagues right now and was 1 year away from free agency, and that'd be great. Because you want to get that 10 years of major league service time, and you know you can only play so many years in your age and stuff like that. But right now, I couldn't be happier with where I'm at in my life. I mean, everything is, you know, people always say the cliches of, you know, there's always a reason for this, and you know every little thing. But for me, it really has done well. For me going down in 2005, it might have been the best thing for me. Guys told me that, hey, you need to go play, you need to get at bats. Did I believe them? No, I was hard-headed and said, you know, I said some bright words that I probably shouldn't have. And
I remember we were down there, and Pawtucket, we interviewed you when you were down there, and you weren't real happy, and I can't say that I blame you. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're satisfied with just knowing that you're playing every day, and you know, there's some guys down there that are just, they go about their business and they're mad, and but they're mad for the wrong reasons. I was mad because I felt like I should be there, but then I also was like, I need to do something. I need to step up. I need to hit 350. I need to hit 340 down there. I can't go down there and hit 250 because they're not going to call me up. If you go down there and you give them a reason to call you up, you're going to get called up. If you go down there and you float around 280, you got no chance of.
Well, you're right. I think a lot of guys do channel it the wrong way. It's basically what you're saying, I think. The other thing we were talking about earlier was your defense. And obviously you've had a little time to get acclimated to the position, and I'm sure that that has helped. Has there been anyone that has made that transition for you in the big picture easier and has had an influence on you playing the way you've played over there?
I just think coming up as a third baseman, and I struggled, you know, coming up as a third baseman and learning the position, and I wasn't that good. I thought personally, I thought I wasn't that great, and I always tried to become a better third baseman. For me, trying to become a great third baseman and actually feeling more comfortable over there allowed me to do what I am doing at first base, and it's great. I mean, it's paying off.
Kevin, there was a time when this team outside of Nomar didn't have players produced by its farm system. Now there's you. And there's Pedroia, and there's Lester, and there's Papelbon. You read about Ellsbury, you read about Bowden, you read about Clay Buchholz. Do you see it in spring training when you're out there this year? Do you see this plethora of young players that are going to be knocking on the door through this organization? Do you see it in spring training?
Yeah, we got some talent. I mean, I came up through a system that was terrible. I'm not going to lie to you. We were bad. We were terrible. I mean, I went to Lowell my first year. We were awful.
Don't mince any words. You can tell us.
I mean, seriously, we were terrible. I mean, we were bad. I mean, we had some guys there that I was like, damn. I was like, you know, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, we signed guys for $1,000 and this and that, and that was the way, you know, It worked at the major league level, but the minor league level, we didn't have anybody coming up. And we had a couple guys here and there that made it up through, Freddie Sanchez, myself. But you're going to have a couple guys here and there, but we didn't have too much going in those years. And it's great. It's great to see young guys that can play, and it's great for the fact that when you go to that trade deadline, you have guys that you can trade. I mean, it's huge.
Getting back to your hitting real quick, how has Dave Magadan influenced you on your approach this year as opposed to maybe Papa Jack in previous years?
Well, I think Dave and I have a good relationship going. I think he lets us hit and do our things, and he's big on the stats of the statistics parts of percentages of like curveballs and sliders mm-hmm. and changeups and all that, and he shows us a really good appreciation of pitcher's counts and other great stuff that Papa Jack, you know, he was more of an old school type guy, and it was more about swing.
When you say stats, you mean what he is trying to emphasize to you is to swing at the right pitch and the right count? Is that what you're getting at? Or
no, what pitches are thrown in what counts often.
So to understand what could be coming then.
Like if he's ahead or, if he's behind, these are the pitches that he's going to throw more often than he is. Like if it's 2-1 or something, he'll give there shows 41% chance he's middle in. So you might be looking more for that pitch in that spot.
It's more preparation and understanding and what the pitcher's arsenal is in the situations.
Yes. Okay. It's all about the pitcher's arsenal.
All right, we're talking to Kevin Youkilis here at our studios at Fenway Park. I did read a quote today by a scout who said that the biggest change he's seen in you is you made adjustments, that you were very predictable early on, that their book on you was that you always took that first pitch. And so they knew they could throw that fastball right down the middle.
A Glenn Orway lookalike.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. There's a guy wearing
Manny, better looking than Glenn.
A Manny T-shirt.
And he's taller.
And a green wig. Thanks for showing up. Thanks a lot.
Hello, brother. Drunks.
This is what we're dealing with out there.
That's every day for us outside. You come to the parking lot.
That guy's got a press pass. Don't kid yourself.
The scout was basically saying that what you do now is that you don't follow any type of set routine, and therefore it's much difficult for them to get a book on you up to the plate. Is that by design?
I don't want to give away my secrets, but they're not real big secrets. A lot of
you think that's accurate? Do you think that you took
totally.
The first pitch?
Yeah. I used to always take the first pitch. Now I take the first pitch here and there, and I kind of got in Texas. I kind of got them there with Gerald Laird. I swung the first pitch and fouled it off. He goes, "Wow." He goes, "That's totally against the scouting report." And I said, "Hey, you got to trick him every once in a while." And then the next day, I faced Padilla and my second at bat, and threw a fastball right there and hit a line drive double down the line because, for me, I'm trying to go up there and have a great at bat, but I'm also up there knowing I'm trying to get a pitch that I can hit well.
I got to ask you about the 302-foot home run. You got pissed. Somebody asked you.
Oh, if I was sheepish.
Yeah.
What? You need to take this show into our locker room and just hear some of the questions that we get on a daily basis.
Yeah, the guy in the green wig over here is asking them.
They need to get the camera on the reporters that are there that are, beat writers that hear the stuff. It's amazing. You get some responses sometimes. That is, I honestly don't know what to say.
The home run, Tony? We hit the ball on the right field line, right inside the foul pole. And, it's a Fenway home run. And
they wanted you to give it back.
They wanted to give it back. Yeah. And he says, you were kind of sheepish when you hit. And you hit the bomb the night before. Bullpen. It's an out,
And he was like, "You're sheepish." I'm like, looking at him, I'm like, sheepish.
You were pissed. I was looking ready.
Take sheepish. What's going on here? It's just like you can't. You get these questions sometimes, and everyone knows that has a microphone in their hand and whatever. Just like, all right, come on, don't even answer this. And you know that you shouldn't even answer it. Because it wastes their time, it wastes everyone's time, and you got to do it. But I mean, they need to start having a camera behind the player,
good reality.
Looking at the reporters. Yes.
Good reality show for Nesson. Good reality show. They want to do all these reality shows.
That wouldn't sell because it would show too many ugly people. Yeah. Beauty sells.
No comment on that one. No comment. Yeah.
Well, so if you won't say it, I will.
When you hit the inside the park, at what point off the bat do you say, okay, I have four?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know until I hit that wall. I mean, I hit the ball good. I felt like, but you never know here. I've hit some balls well to right field, and they get caught, and – So for me, I hit the ball, and I was like, I hit that pretty good, but yeah, Grady Sizemore out there. This guy might do a cartwheel over top of that, you know, fence.
Catch he made last night is unbelievable.
I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, for him not to catch my ball, I'm still shocked that he didn't catch it, but I think that scared him a little bit, that wall. So he
when are you and Dustin going to have, like, a 60-yard dash, you know, maybe for charity or something?
Because
everybody's dying to see that.
I said that yesterday. I said that on that blog with Major League Baseball.
You get your own blog now, too?
No. I actually call I call my thing in, and Chris.
Right. I bet you could get Schilling to write your own stuff.
I'm trying to stay away from it, and I just want to say to people, I call in and, you know, write, and then it's basically my, you know, all my ideas.
Right.
To tell them about the week, and I think it's a daily blog. It's just being a player rep, and it's for Major League, you know, the Players Union. And
so it's on MLB.com?
MLB.com, okay. And that's what I said. I said if we could raise some money to do something fun like that, like the Charles Barkley thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, little things like that.
With a 60-year-old.
I mean, you know how many fans would pay to just go see that just for fun?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I gotta believe, in all, and I'm not saying this because you're sitting here. I gotta believe you would win that race because his strides can't be very long.
Oh my God.
I mean, we should have him run against Glenn.
Oh yeah. Pick on the short guys now, huh?
He runs. Watch how Dustin runs too. we train together and we try to work on form and stuff. And you gotta watch him run. It's pretty for him to get drafted in the second round. It was totally because he can play baseball. There was no other thing about it other than he can play baseball. But we love the guy. He's a great player.
We had Julian Tavares over here a couple weeks ago, and I can understand why players really like him. He's a really interesting and funny guy. What was your reaction when he rolled the ball over to first base the other night?
Please catch this ball.
Did you hear Francona today? Did you hear what Francona said today about that? He said if Millar were over there, he would have missed it.
He might have. I don't know. Millar might have been laughing so hard.
Had you seen that before from Tavares?
He did it last year. He spiked the ball on the ground, threw it over to first. He did it last year. Like three hopped it. With Julian Tavares, you might. I mean, when they say you haven't seen everything in baseball, you haven't seen anything in baseball. When Julian Tavares retires, it might go down a little bit. But I'll tell you what, you know, what you said about Julian Tavares, I will take that guy on the mound any day. He is the best teammate to have in this world. You know you're getting 100% each day. You know you're going to get somebody that's going to battle, that might be injured. He will pitch through anything. The guy is, I mean, he is a baseball player at all senses of the word baseball. You know, I mean, he's great.
He's a guy you pull for. We said it after we talked to him. He's a guy that you really pull for.
And that's why I got in trouble last year when I backed him up. And I guess I got in trouble with everyone around here.
Yeah.
Buck was in my locker the next day.
Right. Well, he does that. He's a rumor.
Remember when I was defending the Tavares tipping the hat? He was the first one in my locker.
Of course. In the sports world, he's an ambulance.
He wasn't even there. He wasn't even there the day before when I had the comments, and he's jumping in my locker the next day.
Yeah, but I was right about the Bengals game, wasn't I?
I cannot believe you were right about that.
Well, both
Buck, he said it was a big joke though, but he was actually right. I couldn't believe it.
Both you and Pedroia covered your faces with your gloves after he rolled it off. I mean, was it?
It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
But do you sit there going like, what the hell was that? Like what?
And it didn't slip, right, Kevin? No, he does it on purpose.
He does it on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mean that like in a super critical way. I mean, but like, whoa! Like,
it's actually, if you think about it, he's a genius. He is the smartest pitcher around because how many of these pitchers? Look at the Detroit Tigers. They lost the World Series because they couldn't throw the ball to first base.
This
guy has got it right. He flips it, rolls it over, puts the blame on somebody else. If I don't catch the ball, then I'm looking.
I like that. Put the blame on somebody else. I think
if I can't field a ground ball at first base,
with that type of mentality, you should be a sports writer. You play people all
exactly.
The time.
Aren't you? Wouldn't you be fearful though that the other team would look at it and say they're trying to show us up? They're out there
doing
problem. PGA bowling.
I didn't want to laugh too hard because that batter. I mean, I wouldn't think it was funny. If I'm running down there, I'm not. I mean, I try to hold it and look the other way because I didn't know. I don't want to show up the other team. I mean, you feel like you don't want to laugh because that guy just hit. You might be showing him up, but I mean, that guy might get in the dugout and he might start laughing if he's got a good sense of humor. But me during a game. I'm not laughing. I'm probably pissed just because of my bat. But
we never would have guessed that.
Oh, yeah. If I ground out like that, yeah, no chance.
Hey, I want to mention this. I've mentioned numerous times that I'm involved with this Good Sports 4th Annual Legends of the Ball. Lenny Clark is coming into town to do it. My buddy Mike O'Malley's coming into town to do it. And David Ortiz is going to receive an award
at this because David has done tremendous work for Good Sports. And Mr. Euclid has as well. As a matter of fact, one of the best auction items of the night involves Euc. And can you actually play Nerf football?
I'm from Ohio. I think you want to take the state of Massachusetts down to Ohio and play some Nerf football. It's going to be a blowout. I'm sorry to say. I love Massachusetts and all, but you come to Ohio, that's football heaven. I mean, we are football nuts. I mean, we play football all year round in the backyard. I mean, we're nuts.
Great Pats Bengals game last year.
So think about this.
Hey,
this
not is all those guys are from Massachusetts.
This is an auction item now. That you and your friends get to play a backyard Nerf flag football game. And as you know, Euc is a big Bengals. Now, do they have to wear, like, Bengals shirts or something like that? Is that going to be part of the
team? No. You can wear Pats shirts. I'm a Pats fan. I just talked to Dan Copen today.
That's nice.
Talking a little football.
So this is unbelievable. Full family-friendly tailgate provided. You're going to feel like you're right at the stadium. Your kids will be the only ones in town to say that a world champion played football in your backyard. It's a priceless item. Must be within 30 miles of Boston, unless it's Ohio, and take place in the fall after the end of the season. And it'll be one of the items featured tomorrow night at the Roxy. It all begins at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It's going to be a terrific, terrific event. Legends of the Ball. It's a great item. Thank you for providing that. That's terrific.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's my big passion. Once baseball season's over, it's full football for me. I get my girlfriend.
By the way,
my girlfriend's not, you know, she's from Massachusetts, and, you know, she's not the big football-loving fan like I am.
Football,
it's tough. It's
no,
very
even though
tough.
You're a Cincinnati, you an Ohio State fan?
I am. My little brother, he graduated from there. I root for him. I'm a huge UC fan. I'm Cincinnati
really?
Bearcats.
Wow.
I mean, I'm the biggest homer when it comes to Cincinnati Bearcats and everything they do. But
everyone's an Ohio State fan in Ohio, though, right? That's kind of
goes
beyond the borders of the school itself.
Yeah, I mean, you're an Ohio State fan, or it's funny, that state's really messed up. You know, when you got all the borders and all the colleges, you got the blue. Once you reach Cincinnati, you got the UK, blue, yeah. And Ohio State. You know, Saturdays is unbelievable. It's all about Ohio State football. But, you know, I'm a fan. I root for them. But I'm not like dressed up in Ohio State stuff like that.
Can the Bengals put this thing together? I mean, you see the juggernaut down there in Foxborough and all the offseason stuff.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, they don't have any.
The hardest thing for me.
They don't have any Bengals that are into that dogfighting, do they?
No, we're good on that part.
Oh, good.
There are some other areas.
We don't have dogfighting.
That's a Monday night game this year.
If we could just put up a hotel where they just stay in there, have like a Mohegan Sun for those events and
stuff.
For
the whole season.
I guess not Mohegan Sun because then you got gambling. You can't do that.
Exactly.
I don't know. We got
put Chilling online too.
Yeah. We got a chance this year, I think. But we still have a lot of question marks on defense, and I just can't wait just to play the Pats because, that's my favorite time. We gotta beat the Pats this year. If the Pats go 15-1, that's cool.
Have you seen the offseason acquisitions here?
I know, but they go 15-1, just lose the Bengals, right. Make me happy.
As a Bengal fan, you'd have to admit that looks like a juggernaut down there, right?
I mean, oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, and that's what Dan Cope and I were talking about today. I asked him, how they have a team and all that stuff. He goes, on paper we look great. It's just, but the bottom line in football is you got to go out and play every day.
Well, he's been brainwashed by Belichick. That's part of the deal.
But it's true. It's so true in football is that you have to go out to play because the NFL, how it goes so quick. I mean, that game turnovers and things like that can go so quick and injuries. I mean, the biggest thing is injuries.
You mentioned the standings a little while ago, saying you wake up, you look, and you have such a big lead. Has what's been going on with the Yankees at all surprised you? Have you found yourself at all looking out at the scoreboard and saying, oh, my gosh, they're losing again? Like, has any of that happened?
Oh, totally. I mean, if you're not a fan of baseball and stuff, I mean, I watch that scoreboard every night and see all the teams and see what happens. And, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Bengals the other day, 14-10 on the scoreboard.
That's right.
For me, it's just, it's unreal, but it's great. Every time we see, for me, I want to see, Baltimore lose a game and Tampa beat Toronto and have it every team at 14.5 and 15. I want everyone down to be 15.5 across the scoreboard. I mean, I want everyone to beat up on each other in the league. So it's great. For us, it's just about, playing our game, and if we win, that's all that matters. I mean, no one can catch us. If we win, no one can catch us.
Hey, one final question before we let you get up to do your real job out here. you talked earlier about the players on this team, and I've heard that from every player, is that the chemistry on this team is phenomenal. How important is that? You've, I'm sure, been on teams where you've had very good chemistry and probably some teams that had some infighting. How much of a difference does that make when you're playing such a long season?
Well, team chemistry is huge. You have to get a, I mean, I've always heard stories about the Oakland A's back in the past, and you know that was just a train wreck, but they won World Series and stuff like that. But
they were kind of united against the media and against the
ownership. The owner.
They were, as a group, they were probably together.
At MC Hammer. They were mad at MC Hammer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
He was the clubhouse kid.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Our clubhouse kid was the police officer.
That's right.
Andrew Crosby.
Yeah.
Man.
I hope you tipped him okay.
I actually did. He was my go-to guy. So when I'm on the streets driving around, he'll probably handcuff me and throw me in the back of the car just for no reason. Then I'll look like a true Bengals fan. But it's unbelievable just all the stuff that's going on right now, and the chemistry's huge. It's a big ordeal, and you know, as long as everyone's having a good time and enjoying themselves, it makes baseball easier. Baseball is the toughest sport to play. There's so much failure, so much you play every day. Mm-hmm. So when you can have a lot of fun and do what you love to do, and it's going well, it makes it so much easier to come to the park.
It's going well right now for you. Hey, thanks a lot for making the trek out here to West Center Field.
Now's the time to ask for that raise, by the way.
You already talked about it.
No, I got
wait for free agency.
I got no chance.
Who's your agent?
Joe Bick, Pro Star manager.
Cincinnati, we'll get him on the phone.
Get your green wig out here if you want. You can take that with you on the way out.
I need that job.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for coming out here, Kevin, and thanks for the what you did for the good sports.
Yeah,
they're great
people,
and they do a wonderful thing and give kids the opportunity, kids that wouldn't normally have the opportunity to do what you've been able to do, to play sports out there, an opportunity to get the equipment and uniforms and playing fields and things like that.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and definitely all the people out there, help out any way you can. It's a great organization and a great cause. And we really need it now more than ever with all the video games and all the other stuff out there. And kids need to be out there playing sports. It will keep them out of trouble.
You got it. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for coming out here.
Thanks,
Kevin Youkilis of the Red Sox.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.